From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. And we welcome our colleague, a friend of Ernesto's, Alejandro Peña Esclusa. He is a Venezuelan writer. He's a senior fellow at the Hungarian Center for Fundamental Rights. He's living in exile in Europe because of the Maduro regime's oppression of all democracy and transparency. Alejandro, a great welcome to you. You're going to be very helpful to us over these next months because coming up, you tell me, are seven elections in the Americas. We're going to begin with Chile. I want to say that Alejandro has promised he'll return to speak to me exclusively of the book he published last fall, Neo-Marxist Incorporated, the Sao Paulo Forum's series of electoral frauds in South America. Wonderful. I look forward to it, although I've had a primer from Ernesto over the years, Alejandro. I want to begin with Chile because it is the news and it's one of these seven elections. My experience with Chile is that under Boric, the present chief executive, it has prospered. And it prospers because God blessed it with natural resources. At the same time, Chile is a vital part of the equation if democracy is to rule in South America. And the news from Reuters, Chile picks Jeanette Jara to face off against right-wing presidential field. It reads, Jara, they will help me understand how to say it, a member of Chile's Communist Party, won the presidential primaries with 60% of the vote, while Carolina Toja, the former interior minister and member of the Democratic Socialism Party, came in a distant second at 28. Ernesto, I begin with you because Chile's Communist Party, how to read this? That is certainly sometimes associated with the left, but it's also associated with failure, with brutality. Is it different for Chile? Good evening to you, Ernesto.
Good evening, John. And before anything else, I'm very glad to see Alejandro here in our show too, in your show. He's a great friend and a great fighter for freedom in all of Latin America. He's a reference for all of us who are trying to get our countries back to freedom. But regarding Chile, well, Chile is one of those countries. Well, I would say that Chile is an example of how to approach the challenge of the left in South America nowadays. The question is not the economics. Chile was a very successful economy, had the best indicators for quality of living, for human development, for GDP per capita in Latin America. And suddenly, because of the cultural wars and how this deforms the way people think, got to power with President Boric and started to destroy everything that had been built in terms of prosperity, of efficiency, etc. In Chile. So, well, I think they have already a lot of antibodies for that. So the, let's say the right, not because it's the right or the left, but because the people who want Chile back, they don't want to see any more of, I think, of this program of the left there. But well, since they don't have a re-election with new faces from the left, maybe enough people who will be convinced that that you need more of everything that is wrong today with Chile for the next government. It's a possibility. So, and it's always the question of how to formulate this. You have candidates that I think don't go deep enough, that only concentrate on the economic issues. Others, no, I think have more better notion of what's at stake, like José Antonio Kast, for example, in Chile. But we, not only the Chileans, we need Chile back as a reference, as a bulwark for sound economy, for a healthy society, for a free society in South America.
Alejandro, your thoughts about the Communist Party in Chile. Is it the same old bully that it was in the 20th century, or has it softened or changed in any fashion? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you very much for the invitation. I'm very happy to be in this program. I'm very happy to be with my friend Ernesto. Regarding Chile, yes, her name is Janet Jara, was elected as the in a primary election as to be the candidate for the left. The Communist Party in Chile indeed has changed. It's not like the orthodox Communist parties, is more neo-Marxist. It's concentrated more in to promote cultural warfare, let's call it that way, or what in the United States is called wokeism. Gabriel Boric and herself, Janet Jara, and others are promoting wokeism in Chile, but not successfully. In any case, according to the polls, they were all go into a first round of elections, but according to the polls, the two final candidates, the candidates going to the second round, are going to be both from the right. That is José Antonio Kast from the Republican Party and Evelyn Matei from the Renovation and UDI Party. Those two right-wing candidates are the ones that probably are going to be running up in the second round, because Janet Jara has not, in my opinion, the possibility to pass to a second round. She doesn't have enough support, first because she's communist, and second because the government of Gabriel Boric, even though did not destroy the economy, did, as Ernesto said, destroy other things. So people want to return to a right-wing government.
And Alejandro, what does a right-wing government mean in Chile? Is that something that to be admired or worried about?
It simply means capitalism, human rights, the defense of private property, and very importantly, the defense of the values of our Christian civilization. Chileans don't want a government promoting abortion or gender ideology or this radical ecologism. They want just a normal government who will promote jobs, who promote prosperity, and very important, security. People want to return to tranquility and to have a peaceful and secure country, which is not anymore as they used to. So that's what it means, a right-wing government in Chile nowadays.
And Ernesto, I come to you because Alejandro says the magic word, capitalism. Capitalism as practiced in Brazil is doing very well. The economy rewards the people of great prosperity and a lot of innovation. But there are items that are coming up constantly now to suggest that Brazil has been experimenting with socialism in some fashion. I note, however, what appears to be discord in the world of the left of center governments like China. There is a complaint from Brazil that the China steel mills and the India steel mills have been dumping steel on Brazil, which is part of the conversation worldwide now in the trade wars. So what does this mean, that China is accused of taking advantage of Brazil and undercutting the Brazilian steel, which itself is a major part of your economy?
Yes, John, this is an old problem, the overproduction of steel in China and their need to dump steel all around the world. And in the case of Brazil, the problem got much worse when back in the first Lula administration, Brazil started to consider China officially as a market economy, which ties our hands in what we can do in terms of anti-dumping measures. We can do something, but not everything that would be needed. The problem is that China, can outcompete everyone because of the way they manage their economy, which is totally not a market way of managing their economy. India is a little bit different. It is a market economy, but has other avenues of for support of their production. But the main problem, I think that's for the whole world, is how to treat China in the WTO, or in multilateral trade, which is, China is not a market economy and uses market economy instruments to their benefit. I think President Trump's tariffs and tariff policy addresses that problem and would solve a lot of problems, not only for the U.S., but for the world, if it puts on check what China can do in that respect. But as of now, it makes things worse because China doesn't have any more access in many cases to the U.S. market and needs to dump their production elsewhere. And for political reasons, the Lula government won't do anything about it because he has his hands tied with Xi Jinping, which is basically his political mentor and a geopolitical guide in a way. So, unfortunately, this will destroy one more sector, risks destroying one more competitive sector of the Brazilian economy after many others that have been destroyed by Chinese, unlawful competition.
I'm speaking with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and our guest and colleague, Alejandro Peña Esclusa, a Venezuelan writer living in exile in Europe. When we come back, I'll be asking about China in the Americas, especially because there's an item right now. China is quietly supplanting Russia as Cuba's main benefactor. If it's Cuba's benefactor, then it touches on the non-transparent states of Nicaragua and Venezuela and Cuba together. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.